Dr. Rogers said, Everlasting Father speaks of the love that he has for us, like as a father pitied his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Jesus is the everlasting Father. When Jesus Christ, think about this. Again, this is from Dr. Rogers. He said, when Jesus Christ was born, he was as old as his father, and he was older than his mother. Now, how was he as old as his father? Because he said, I and my father are one. Jesus was in the beginning with the Father. And so he can rightly be called everlasting Father, because you cannot separate God the Father from God the Son. You can't separate God the Son from God the Spirit. And you can't separate God the Spirit from God the Father. And so they're all together. That's how Jesus could say, I and the Father of one. But in this title, when we see Father, it speaks of Jesus in the role of caring for you and me as a father cares for his children. Now, for some of you, bringing up the idea of Jesus caring as a father, there's a disconnect. Because for some of you, your relationship to your father isn't all that great. Or maybe it never has been great. Or maybe you've never even really had a relationship with your father. And I understand that. And I get that. That's true of some of you. In fact, for some of you, the very mention of father brings up painful memories. And so what I'm going to ask you to do this morning, if that's your situation, I'm going to ask that you set that thought aside for a moment, because we're going to look at Jesus in his role of how he cares for us as a perfect father. And so that's what we're going to look at. So how do we wrap our mind around that? I mean, if his fatherhood toward us is everlasting. And by the way, that word everlasting, the idea that word is an adjective. Now, I don't want to get too much into the grammar here, because there's probably an English teacher out here and she would say you're not right there. But think about this. Jesus cares for us as a father. The word everlasting qualifies and defines his fatherhood. In other words, what he's saying is Jesus is going to care for us as our father for eternity. Some scholars, Alistair Begg and others, have said, in order to help us wrap a mind around that, think of it not as Jesus' everlasting Father, but think of Jesus as our Father forever. And so what he wants to do in your life, and what he wants to do in my life, and what he wants to do in the life of everyone that chooses to follow him is to be their Father, but to be that forever. And so there's an eternity about that. And none of us have a forever father. My father died when I was 22. And I still have fond memories, but that was over a half a lifetime ago. And so none of us have a forever father. But when you give your life to Jesus, he then has become that. He is our everlasting Father. So how do we kind of get our mind around that? Well, Jesus is going to stick with us and stay with us forever. I mean, when you become a child of his, you're a child of his forever. I don't know if I may have said this to you, but if you have kids in college and I know they're about to graduate, or I know they're about to get out of high school and go to work, I've been known to say to people, hey, I know you're excited. You're fixing to get that one off the books. And usually they smile and then they go, they never really go off the books. How many of you have adult children that would say amen? They never go off the books, right? It's forever. Your child is, I mean, they're yours forever, right? Well, when you give your life to Jesus Christ, he becomes your father. And you never go off the books. You never get out of his book. And we'll talk about that and we'll look at that in just a moment. But I want us to try to understand this thing, because we need to try to figure out what does that mean? What does it look like that Jesus is our Father? Well, what happens is when you surrender your life to Christ, I mean, Jesus loves everybody. God loves everybody without condition. But when you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, the moment you became a believer, if in fact you are a believer, Or, and if not, the moment you do become a believer, then all of a sudden Jesus obligates himself to treat you as a perfect father would treat his child. And so he then becomes your father forever. And so I would say, I'm going to give you some qualities. Jesus is your, if you're a believer, if you're born again, if you've chosen to follow him, Jesus is your father forever because he knows you intimately. Now I've tried to think about, last week we went to John's gospel and we tried to get a picture. Okay, if Jesus is the mighty God, let's look at all those miracles he did. And we looked at kind of those. And I've tried to think about, where do we see Jesus as a father? And I thought about this, and I thought, man, the good shepherd is a great picture because the way a shepherd cares for his sheep has so many similarities to the way a father cares for his kids. And so I want you to turn with me. In fact, you can just turn to John because we're going to be in John 10 with a few exceptions for most of the message because I believe a great picture of Jesus' fatherhood toward us can be found in the account of the Good Shepherd. Remember, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He said, I am the bread of life. He said, before Abraham was, I am. He said, I am the resurrection of life. And then sandwiched in between all that, he said to his disciples and to his followers, he said, listen, I am the Good Shepherd. I am the Good Shepherd. And because he is, there's just some characteristics we can pull out of that story that will help you get a picture of what Jesus means. Or what Isaiah means when he says Jesus is your father forever. First of all, he knows you intimately. If you're there in John 10, listen to verse 3. I'm gonna read it all, but the second half is the key. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. The picture here is that the shepherd knows every one of his sheep by name. Now, if you're like me, you could look out of in a sheep pasture and go, they all look alike if they're all white, because they kind of all look alike. But to a shepherd, he's learned the idiosyncrasies and the markings on the ear and the spots on the foot and the freckles on the face, and he knows everyone of his sheep by name. He knows them perfectly, and they know him. And so there's an intimacy. And in fact, the Bedouin shepherd of that generation, and it's still true today, if you read and study up on shepherding, Philip Keller's got a great book on that, and we may even do a sermon series out of that at some point on Because the Lord is My Shepherd. But what you'll discover is there's such a connection between the shepherd and the sheep. If there's a pasture full, let's say five shepherds and all their sheep are together, if one shepherd goes and calls his sheep out, they'll recognize his voice. And that guy's sheep will go and follow him. They won't follow a stranger's voice. In fact, we see that, Jesus said that in verse 5. Now I say all that to say this. Jesus knows you intimately. He knows you very intimately, and he knows you very personally because you belong to him. Now, if you're a parent, how many of you are parents? This is not rhetorical. Go ahead and raise your hand. Now, if you're not a parent yet, this is going to be hard for you to totally wrap your mind around. But if you're a parent, you know this. You love your nephews, and you love your nieces, and you love your, I think you love your neighbor's kids. I hope you love your neighbor's kids. And you love your children's friends and all that. But if you're a parent, you know, there is something about your child that is different than any other child. It's not that they're different, but there is an intimacy that you have with your babies that you don't have with any other child. You want the very best for them. You want them to have the best. You want them to experience the best. And again, it's not that you don't love your nephews and nieces, and it's not that you don't love those little neighbor kids and all that. But listen, here's what you need to, I just want to point out. When it comes down to it, if it's your child and somebody else's child, we're wired to want the best for ours. There's an intimacy and a love that you have for your kids. If one of them's got to win, you want yours to win, right? I mean, am I right? I've seen you at the ball games. I'm right. You know? There's just something about, we have that. It's why God made us that way. That's why a mother is will lay down her life. Remember the story? Remember, when it was talking about King Solomon and his wisdom, there were two ladies and they had a baby at the same time and basically about the same time. And one night, one of the ladies rolled over and smothered her baby. And when she woke up the next morning, her baby was dead. And so she went and she placed her baby beside her friend that was asleep, and she took her friend's baby and she swapped them out. And the woman knew it, but she knew that wasn't her baby. And so they wanted satisfaction. And you know the story. They go to King Solomon and they said, Solomon says, okay, well, just bring the baby to me. We'll cut the baby in half and we'll give half to you and half to the other. And the woman who stole the baby said, well, sounds good to me. But what did the mother do? The mother said, no, no. She can have my baby. Because I care about this baby more than my own self. See, there's an intimacy that you have with your children, that I have with my children, that God has put into us. Now, here's what I want you to understand. Jesus Christ, when you become a child of God, and John 1:12 says, but as many as receive him, those that believe in his name, he gives them the right to become a child of God. When you become a child of Jesus, there is an intimacy. He looks at you like you look at your babies. And he says, I want the best for him. Because he knows you intimately. Jesus is your forever father, or your father forever, because he knows you intimately. But also, what we discover is that Jesus knows you perfectly, or he loves you perfectly and completely. Look at verse 11. In fact, we're going to look at four verses. We're going to look at verse 11 where in John 10. Jesus said this. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And then look at verse 15. He says, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Look at verse 17. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and I have authority to take it up. This charge I received from my Father. So really, basically on five occasions there, Jesus said, I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. Do you remember what Jesus said in John 15:13 to his disciples? He says, greater love has no one than this. What? They would lay down his life for them. How many of you have a friend that has given their life for you? They've laid it down. Some of you, there's probably some of our folks that have served in the military where somebody's laid down their life. Wouldn't it be awesome to have a friend to be willing to lay down their life for you? I suspect that, I hope all of us parents would lay down our life for our kids. If I had to choose, if I was at the point where I had to give my life to save my kids by the grace of God, I would do that. I would do that. I would lay down. Well, Jesus laid down his life for us. Now, why would we do that? Because of worth. Remember, for our own kids, I want the best for them. And life's the best for them. And so I give my life. So why would we do that? Quick story. As you've been shopping, or quick question, then a story. As you've been out shopping for Christmas, how many of you got your shopping all done? Anybody? Everybody all done? Who's all done? Who's not all done? Okay, I still got some things. Have you seen anything and you go, I can't believe they want that much money for that. Has anybody seen that? My mom was here for a week. We went to Sam's the other day, and you know, when I go to the grocery store, I always go look at the meat section, right? I mean, it's automatic. I go look at the meat section. So we're in there to look at meat, and you know me, so I went over to look at the brisket. I love brisket. They had a brisket for $84. And I said to Mama, I said, are you kidding? Right beside it, there was a beef rib, a whole, not just a ribeye, but a beef rib that was $84. But there was a $87. There's a brisket for $84. Don't ever buy an $84 brisket. This is going to sound cocky, but I'm just going to be cocky. When I was at Texas A&M, I was on the meats judging team. If you've seen my belt buckle, if you've ever seen it, it says meats judging 1983, Texas A&M University. We won 3 times. So I know what I'm talking about. Don't ever buy an $84 brisket because it's junk meat. You got to cook it 18 hours so you can chew it. You do. I promise. I'm thinking 84. I was beside myself. And I said, Mom, I can't. I said, are you kidding me? There's no way it's worth that. And she says, no, it's not. Unless somebody's willing to pay. Do you know why they're selling an $84 brisket? Because somebody ain't got sense enough to get it out in the rain and they'll go in there and buy that thing. Right? And if brisket's 84 and beef rib is 87, buy the beef rib. Trust me. But here's my point. You know why they're charging $84? Because somebody will pay. Now I can say it's not worth it, but worth is not based on my opinion. Worth is based on what somebody's willing to pay. Now listen to me. Stay with me on this. I don't know what your opinion of you is. I know what my opinion of me is. And I don't always necessarily think I'm worth as much as I could be. And you probably may not think you're worth as much as you could be. But it doesn't matter what you and I think. What matters is the price somebody was willing to pay. Right? Jesus said, I lay down my life for the sheep. See, He loves you completely, and so you have ultimate value to Him. And so Jesus is your Father forever because He knows you intimately. He's your Father forever because He loves you completely. He loves you perfectly. He's your Father forever. Number three, because He forgives you completely. Man, that's the beauty of Him laying down your life. If you look in your text there, look at John 10, verse 9. Let's look at the second. We'll read all of verse 9, but I really want to focus on the second half. But notice what it says. Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And will go in and out and have fine pasture. He will be saved. The implication of salvation is forgiveness. And so when somebody has been saved, they have been forgiven. The Bible says in Isaiah 59:2, it says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sin has hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. And so there's this separation between us. Well, when you become born again, when you give your life to Jesus Christ, and you become, as we like to use the term, saved, when you come to know Him, your sins are taken away. He takes your place. Matter of fact, I told you we were staying in John mostly. Go back to Psalm 103. I want you to, you need to look at this in your Bible. Now, that's going to come up on the screen, but if you don't have your Bible, make a note. Psalm 103, you need to know this. This is good stuff here. Psalm 103, listen, I'm going to just give you a glimpse in verse 3. But that's not what we're going to look at. Verse 3 says, or verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases. But look down at verse 8. It says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger. Aren't you glad? Can I get a witness? Are you glad that he's slow to anger? I'm not, but he is. Thank God. He is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, hallelujah, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Friend, I will tell you, Jesus is your Father forever because he forgives your sins completely. Completely. When you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, all of your sins have been forgiven and taken away. I mean, yes, he knows you intimately. Yes, he loves you completely. But I want you to know he forgives you completely. No matter where you've been and no matter what you've done, when you're under the blood of Christ, man, you are free. Indeed. Is that not good news? Now, here's what I need to say. The fact that he forgives you completely doesn't give you the license to sin lavishly. Don't go, oh man, if he forgives me for everything, then I'm going to do what I want. Listen, no. When you understand that he forgives you completely, when I understand that, we're not going to want to go and sin. See, here's the thing about, you need to understand this. This is a caveat. To be forgiven completely means I'm forgiven completely. But does it mean there aren't some consequences? See, I have kids. They rarely get in trouble because they're so sweet. Okay. Sometimes. I'm in trouble now, so I just get out of this. Okay. But when they mess up, I'm never going to not forgive them. You're never going to not forgive your kids. But when you forgive them, there might be some consequences, right? You may not get that phone for a season. You may not get to go to this place or whatever. See, forgiveness doesn't mean that the consequences always go away. Forgiveness means that there's never any condemnation. Okay? So don't think, wow, man, Jesus loves me. He forgives me for everything. I can go do whatever you want. Well, you can, but you might pay a price because there's consequences for our choices, right? So you understand. So, but nevertheless, understand that but the penalty for our sin, the payment for our sin goes away. Jesus is our Father forever because he forgives us completely. And what does that mean? Jesus never holds a grudge about our sin. He never holds a grudge and says, I can't believe you committed that sin. He's your Father forever. Then number four, Jesus is your Father forever because he provides for you faithfully. Again, if you go back to John chapter 10, and we won't spend but just a moment here, because I think you understand this, but it says, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Now, again, the analogy is the shepherd and the sheep. Well, for a sheep to go in and out and find pasture means that the sheep's going to be well fed, and it means that all his needs are going to be met. And what I want you to know and understand, and what I need to know and understand, Jesus, as our Father forever, he's going to meet all of our needs for eternity. Now, maybe not all of our wants. It may be not in our time frame. But he's promised. In fact, in Matthew, don't go there, but in Matthew 6, 31 through 33, he said, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. He says, seek first the kingdom of God, and what? All these things will be added unto you. And so Jesus, as your Father forever, because he provides for you faithfully. Parents, how many of you just decided one day and go, you know what, little Johnny, I'm just tired of him. I'm tired of getting on to him. I'm tired of spanking him. You ain't eating no more. I'm done. You're out. You can't eat, no cookies. I mean, no, you know, we would never do that. Jesus is, listen, he's our Father forever. He's never going to say, hey, I'm not going to meet your needs. Again, he doesn't hold a grudge. Now, there might be some consequences for our mistakes, consequences for our choices, but he's our Father forever because he provides for our need. Now, one last thing, let me qualify this last one because I want to say something. I want to say a word. Most of us here are believers. Most of us here are followers of Christ. But there are some of you who you've yet to decide that, hey, I'm going to follow Jesus. And maybe you're 12 or 13 and you're considering, maybe you're 35 or maybe you're 50 or maybe you're 80 or 75. And you're debating, okay, maybe you do the church thing, maybe you don't do the church thing, but you're just trying to decide, do I really want to follow Jesus? Well, I believe I'll give you some compelling evidence of why you need to follow Jesus. Man, he knows you intimately. Man, he loves you completely. He laid down his life for you. Listen, Jesus will forgive you for everything you've ever done. The consequences, the payment, penalty for your sin will all go away. Those are pretty compelling reasons to be saved. I would like to think that that's enough, but I want to give you one other reason. I want to show you one other thing that should say to you, man, I need to surrender my life to Jesus today. So let's look at it. I'm going to call it this. Jesus is your Father forever because he preserves you eternally. I want you to look down in verse 27 of John chapter 10. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Look at this. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. If you give your life to Jesus in exchange for surrendering your life to Jesus Christ, he gives you eternal life and you will never perish. You will never, ever perish. You may die. We're all going to die. But your soul's going to exist for eternity somewhere. But if you give your life to Jesus, he will give you eternal life, and you will never perish. That is the most incredible, the most awesome news I have, is that if you surrender to Jesus, you will live forever. And he will meet every need you have. But what if you don't open that present? What if you don't accept that gift? Jesus said, I give them eternal life. Well, what if they say, no, I don't want it? What do you get? Well, then you are going to perish. Because again, you're going to die. I'm going to die. Your soul's going to exist forever. It's just going to exist forever separated from this Father that loves you perfectly and knows you intimately and wants to forgive you completely. And so when you decide what you're going to do with Jesus, when you decide whether or not you're going to surrender to Jesus, when you decide whether or not you're going to follow Jesus, what you're deciding, are you going to spend eternity in heaven with God, or are you going to spend eternity in hell separated from God for forever? You see, Jesus has the power, and Jesus has the wherewithal, and Jesus has the want to give you eternal life. But he's not going to make you take it. You've got to accept it. Now look what happens when you do. We're still in verse 28. This is the good news. I mean, this is what's so exciting about this thing. They will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Wow. What a tremendous promise. When you surrender your life to Jesus, when you put your hand in his hand and you turn from your sin and you follow him and he gives you eternal life, you are stuck to him forever and forever. And nothing can separate. If you want that defined more clearly, Romans 8:31 through the end of the chapter. We are more than conquerors in Christ. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Paul said, nobody and no thing. Jesus becomes your Father forever because he preserves you eternally. Let me share with a quick story and we'll be done. I read this some time ago, but hot summer day in South Florida, there was a family that lived in front of a small lake, and little boy decided, hey, I'd like to go swimming. And so his dad was working in the yard, and so he takes off out of the yard. And as he leaves the house, there's just kind of a trail. He kicks off his shoes, and he throws off his socks, and he throws off his shirt, and he jumps into the lake. And if you've seen some of those lakes in Florida, they're a little sketchy anyway. But so he begins to swim out toward the middle of the lake. And the father looks up, and he looks beyond his son, and he notices there's an alligator swimming toward his son. His son is swimming away from him toward the alligator. And so the father just begins to yell, and he's just yelling and yelling and yelling. And finally the son hears him, and he knows something's up. And so the son makes a U-turn, and he begins to swim back toward the shore and back toward the father. But he turned too late, and the father's at the edge of the dock, and the father reaches down to grab the son. As he grabs the little boy by the arms, the alligator grabs the little boy by the legs, and this battle ensues. And as you know, the alligator is stronger than the father. But the father is more passionate and determined than the alligator. And so this struggle, and they're yelling and screaming. Well, there's a farmer driving by, and somehow he sees this. And so he stops and pulls out his rifle or his gun, and he comes running out, and he shoots the alligator. And the kid survives. So a few weeks pass, and he gets out of the hospital. And this reporter comes and interviews him. And he says, can I see those scars? And the little boy pulls up his pants and says, shows him the scars of the alligator. And then he smiles and he says, oh, but I need to show you these. And he pulls up his sleeve, and he's got these fingernail marks where his father locked onto him and wouldn't let him go. And he survived. When you surrender to Jesus, he gets you in his hands, and he will never let you go. Jesus, the name is Everlasting Father. Is he your Father forever? If he's not, would you be willing today to surrender your life to Christ? He'll know you intimately. He'll love you perfectly. He'll forgive you completely. He'll meet every need you have. And he'll hold you for eternity. Friend, there's no better deal than that. Would you give your life to Jesus? Would you do it today? Would you do it today? Let's pray. Father, the more I read and the more I study, the more I learn about Jesus, the more I agree with our worship team, your great name, high and lifted up. Jesus, you have a great name. You are worthy of worship and praise. You died for us. You know us perfectly. You forgive us completely. You'll hold on to us eternally. God, I want you to encourage the believer here today. God, I pray that we'd be excited about the Jesus that knows us and loves us. God, encourage our heart. And Father, for that man, for that student, God, for that child, for that senior adult that has never surrendered to Jesus, God, I pray that today they would decide to follow Him. They would surrender their life to Him. So, Father, I'm just going to ask that You have Your way and Your will in every person's heart. And we'll give You the glory and the honor for all You do this morning, Father. And we pray in Jesus' name.